are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Are the stars lining up for Quinn Snyder to become the new Spurs head coach? Welcome back to Locked On Spurs. I am Jeff Garcia, your host for today. I'm Spurs writer for Ken's 5 San Antonio. Glad to have you back. Case been living under a rock. There's a coach going to be available for a job. Quinn Snyder has resigned his spot as the head coach for the Utah Jazz. And many are speculating that he could be the next Spurs head coach waiting in line. We're going to be talking that. Does it make sense? Should the Spurs entertain it? Is perhaps there another coach out there the Spurs should chase once Popovich calls it a day? And if we have some time, go over some news and notes that you may have missed. Who is leading the charge to bring in Quinn Snyder? Because he's just a fan of Quinn Snyder. As a matter of fact, he taught Quinn Snyder everything he knows. He is Rudy Campos with Sweep the League. Rudy, welcome back to Locked On Spurs.
Thank you, Jeff. And I'm very excited that my protege, Quinn Snyder, my padawan, is coming to possibly San Antonio, I believe.
Man, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I mean, that's what everybody's speculating right now.
It's all speculation, but man, I love Locked On Spurs because when you and I've talked a couple times in the past, I've mentioned his name and the coaching. You know, if Pop ever leaves, who would I want? And Quinn Snyder's always been that guy.
Exactly. Well, let's go ahead and start diving into this topic. But before we do that, make sure to follow Rudy on Twitter at Sweep the League. He is the host of Sweep the League Radio. He'll tell you more about that later on the show. And we thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. And it's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So, yeah, Quinn Snyder resigns from the Jazz. The stars seem to be lining up, Rudy. You get the resignation. Then you have the fact that Popovich is rumored, we emphasize that, rumored to just give it a go one more year this upcoming season and then sail off into the sunset. Quinn Snyder is a former Spurs coach, well, specifically the Austin Toros of the then G League Spurs. And, you know, he's part of that Popovich coaching tree. And, you know, he had success in Utah. Maybe it wasn't the greatest success, winning a title, but he had some success. And it just seems to be lining up. But are you seeing what many are seeing, Rudy, that he could be the next?
God, you know, Quinn Snyder, yes. I kind of agree with a lot of people what they're speculating and seeing, that Quinn could be the next coach. A lot of stuff lines up. A lot of experts, a lot of people in the know, insiders for NBA, especially one, Danny Ainge, who is tied to the Utah Jazz, has mentioned that it seems like Quinn's going to take a year off and then come back into coaching. Everybody expects him to be a head coach somewhere, which kind of is falling in a line with the stars, like you mentioned, because rumor has it Pop is going to go one more year. So I don't understand how anybody can just sit there and not speculate and have that dart thrown at the heart of San Antonio as to where Quinn will be landing. I mean, it seems to be going on. You're talking about a guy who was the G League Coach of the Year in 2009 for the Austin Toros. He's got tons of ties to Pop. Yep. This is probably the best replacement for someone not named Becky Hammon.
I look at the situation, and we'll do a pros and cons. So we'll start off with the pros. So let's knock out the pros out of the way. Former Spurs coach, familiar with the Spurs system, took the Spurs system to Utah. It was able to implement it, practice it, if you will, for X amount of years that he was with Utah. You know, Popovich, you know, gushes about him. He is known for being a developmental coach. And Rudy, I think he still holds the record for the most developmental players to make it to the NBA when he was in the G League. So his whole thing is development. And guess what? The Spurs are a young team, still developing. We're saying that everybody's saying the Spurs are in the rebuild mode. Well, part of rebuilding is developmental of the players. So there's that, you know, obviously younger than Popovich. So there's that as well. Defensive minded. So defense first, again, fits within the, you know, the Spurs coaching tree mindset. But for as much as the pros are, And we'll circle back to the pros, but let's go and look at the cons. And the biggest con is he had so many great teams in Utah, came up short. And that's the big one, Rudy.
Yeah, you know, the cons part about him not being able to basically finish in Utah and get team to a title or even do a championship, you know, NBA finals. I get it. But, you know, man, the West has been super loaded during those times. I mean, you're talking when he was back, he started with Utah Jazz in 2014. Majority of those years, the West was super loaded. You're talking about, you know, the Spurs teams that were there. Obviously, you know, Clippers, Lakers teams, there was just an abundance of talent in the West. So I can't really put a whole lot of blame on him not being super successful in the Western Conference. But, hey, winning the winning his division, what, three times in that time span, not being below 500 with the exception of his first 2 years in Utah, a lot of more positives on Quinn's resume outside of the fact that he couldn't get to the big game. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's made the playoffs the past 6 years. So, I mean, really, I look at more positives when it comes to Quinn than I do negatives. But, yeah, the only shot's going to be is, well, what has he done for his team lately?
Yeah, and look, you know, if you want to look at the cons, I mean, how many other, you know, great NBA coaches never won a title? I mean, obviously, look in his own backyard. Well, his former backyard, Utah, yeah. Jerry Sloan. Jerry Sloan never won an NBA title. You look at, I don't know if you consider one of the greatest, but a good, but that way, good coach, Mike D'Antoni, never won a title. So, you know, as a head coach. So, yeah, it happens. That happens to other coaches. But I think for me, that's what really gets me is because remember back in the day, Rudy, how great the Spurs were during the regular season and then fizzled in the postseason? What it was. The Sean Elliott, David Robinson days. You know, that's what it was. That's my biggest fear. I guess I'm still shell-shocked from those years, and I would hate for it to repeat. Now, that is the biggest con. Let's talk about all those pros we just listed. And for me, yeah, if I had to triage it, it's the developmental side. I like the fact that he's a developmental coach, Rudy.
Yeah, because you're going to think about it. If you keep the three draft picks you have this year and you don't make any moves, you're going to have three young players coming in. So if Quinn is that guy to come in the year after, he's going to have those guys. He's going to have guys like Keldon, Devin, Josh Primo, even still DeJounte, who's going to continue to improve year after year. You've got so much young talent. And not only that, let's look at Quinn's age. He's only 55 years old. I mean, that does sound old, but it really isn't in NBA standards. He's still a very young coach. So I think, you know, the mindset that him coming in and developing these young guys is going to be awesome. It's going to be a great benefit to the Spurs organization. Can't forget the fact that you still have one other former Spur, Manu Ginobili, who will probably be tied to the coaching staff as well. So the development part for Quinn is going to be extremely well. The other thing I like about Quinn that a lot of people, I guess, really don't see on the pro side is the fact of his, I guess the way to put it is he's not necessarily a player's coach, but he's a demanding coach in a non-pop type of way, if that makes any sense. I mean, you're going to get the most out of your players, and you're going to be hard-nosed. You're going to be, you know, balls to the wall and everything with them. But he also understands that these guys are still young and still developing. So I like that it's not going to be too far from the typical pop coach team that we've normally seen year after year.
He is Rudy Campos with Sweep the League. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Sweep the League. And yeah, stay tuned for what he had to say about his show and what you can expect moving forward. And we're talking about Quinn Snyder and possibly rumored, speculated to be the next Spurs head coach. And you look at that Spurs Popovich coaching tree, and it's vast. We mentioned Snyder. There's Becky Hammon in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. There's others. I mean, just look at the playoff field. I mean, there was, you know, the Memphis head coach, Jenkins. You know, there was, and from the players, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge and Patty Mills. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Snyder. So it's there. And I would think that Spurs system would fit in seamlessly. Should, you know, and if, you know, who knows if it happens, Snyder does become the head coach. But, you know, there's still a lot to weigh when it comes to, you know, who will be the next head coach for the Spurs, because those are going to be some pretty big shoes to fill. We're going to actually give our thoughts and our prediction, our odds, if you will, about Snyder becoming the next head coach. Or does Rudy have somebody else in mind outside of Snyder that should be the next big cheese out in the sidelines for the Spurs? But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks. All right, NBA fans, you're looking for a daily fantasy option for the NBA, then you need to try the award-winning app Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and we know you will too. Now, look, it's very easy to use. You pick 2 to 5 players and over and under the projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Very simple. Prize Picks is safe, offers fast withdrawals, and it's, like I said, it's very easy. It's an award-winning app you can find on the App Store and on Google Play. Offers a variety of options from point score to rebounds to steals, any prop you can think of. Even allows for mixed sports entries. And it's not just NBA. It's college basketball, college football, NFL, MLB, soccer, MMA, and much, much more. For a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all our users. You get $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point, but you got to use code NBA. That's right. Exclusive offer right here for all Locked On fans. Sign up today. Use promo code NBA for $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Pick entry scores just a single point. And we are back with Rudy Campos. He is with Sweep the League, and we're discussing Quinn Snyder and if he should be the next Spurs head coach, or is it somebody else? But before we dive into that, we have an important favor to ask of you. We put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcast. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It doesn't take very long. Everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take the audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thanks for your help. So, you know, before we give our odds on whether we think Snyder is going to be the next head coach, is there somebody else on your big board? If you were looking at drafting another head coach for the Spurs once Pop leaves, who else is on the Rudy Campos big board?
Man, I'm probably going to confuse a lot of people, but, you know, I've been pretty high lately on a guy, and he's not going to be a standout. He's not going to be anybody that you would be like, oh, I know that guy. It's actually current Milwaukee Bucks assistant and actually former Spurs G League player and Summer League player, actually, Charles Lee. He's an assistant coach. He's been an assistant coach with the Atlanta Hawks and the Milwaukee Bucks. And he's getting a lot of love. He was just interviewed by the Sacramento Kings. I also believe by the LA Lakers when they were looking for their coach recently, actively. I think Charlotte was looking at him as well. He's a very young guy. He's a very young coach, very brilliant coach as well. He comes from the Budenholzer tree, I guess you can say, which obviously comes through the Popovich tree. So one guy who's out there who I really think the Spurs will probably interview once that time comes is Charles Lee, along with maybe Will Hardy from, you know, Spurs past. But yeah. That one guy is one guy that I've really been keeping my eye on lately. Outside of that, I mean, there's really no big head coach out there other than Quinn Snyder. That's an actual name that I would actually say that's the guy I would love to see be a Spurs head coach.
Would you mind a college coach coming in? Do you think that would work, or do you think they still need to bring in an established NBA head coach? You know, whether it be a former Spurs coach like Snyder or even a Brett Brown who's been out of the spotlight for a while.
You know, I'm going to give the probably the unpopular answer and say I wouldn't mind a college coach coming in, just very selective as to which one it is. Only reason why is because a lot of college coaches are young. And, you know, when I say young, you can get some in, you know, 40, 50-year-old range. And they're really established. They're really good. And I feel they could grow with the players a lot easier than a coach coming in for, say, like a Larry Brown, for whatever reason, coming in and trying to make sure, you know, his way is his way or the highway. So I wouldn't mind a college coach coming in. It's just real more selective as to who it could be. I like a Jay Wright is another one that could be on the Spurs candidate list. But outside of Jay Wright, I don't really like Bill Self too much. But Jay Wright, maybe a select few others I would consider.
Yeah, I think Bill Self already put the nail in the coffin. I mean, he's been on so many shows, radio interviews, podcast interviews, saying that he's not interested in the Spurs position to him, that he's a Kansas guy. So, you know, I know you never say never, but, you know, you take that for what it is. Right. There's a part of me, too, that would have minded a college coach coming in. You know, it's a very young team. If you think about it, most of these guys still should be in college. Trey Jones, yeah. Devin Vassell, the list goes on and on. Wieskamp. So, you know, maybe a college coach should come in and see if he can work the magic on the NBA level with these young NBA players just fresh out of college. But no, I think of the other side, I say, well, you know, you need an established NBA guy, you know, to teach the guys the ropes, to teach them what it is to succeed at the pro level. But I look at the situation now in my short list. I think I would love to see Becky Hammon return. I think that would be awesome to see. You know, will she leave the WNBA from her roots, from her basketball roots, to back to the pro? I think she would, you know, to show that she can make it at that level as well.
I think it'd be tough for her. Not to cut you off, but
yeah,
it would be tough for her to leave the WNBA. I mean, the success she's having really early right now, I think the WNBA would do anything and everything in its power to make sure she continues the WNBA for many years.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, but it'd be tough to pry her away because she got, like, for WNBA standards, like the mother of all deals, something like that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Another guy on my list is Manu Ginobili. He's right there. You know, well, he's been on record saying he'll never ever do it, that he's not interested in coaching, but he's in a player developmental role right now. You know, a lot of the players, you know, thank him for his, you know, time and for helping teaching them, you know, the arrow step. Yeah. But will he make the next leap to head coaching? I don't know, because he still need a while to go. You know, he'll probably need to work that assistant coach role for a while to learn it. You know, I think it'd be very difficult for him to vault from where he's at right now to head coach. I mean, look what's happened to Steve Nash in Brooklyn. You know, he had all the talent in the world, and, you know, couldn't put it together. So, yeah. Exactly. And then I would love to see Will Hardy come back. I think Will Hardy will fit the bill as well. But it's going to put our odds out there. What do you think? What are your odds of Quinn Snyder becoming the next Spurs head coach?
I'm going to say, yeah, it's easy to say 50-50, so I'm not going to take the comp out and the easy way out there. I'm going to say we're probably looking at, 45-55, 45% that he'll be a Spurs coach. I'm not completely confident that it's a guaranteed type thing. I think where you ever see smoke with the Spurs, it tends to not happen a lot. So I'm going to say between 40 and 45% that Quinn's going to be the next Spurs head coach. So it's out there, but it's, to me, it's not likely. It's not likely that we'll see him as the Spurs head coach.
Yeah, I'm going to go about 55%. So I'm leaning a little towards, like, yeah, I think it definitely piques the Spurs' interest. I think if you put Popovich in a room and, you know, you lay some names out there and one of the names is Quinn Snyder, I think he would probably, okay, that's on my short list. Or, you know, with ownership and whoever's involved in that process. You know, I think they would boost Snyder's name nearly to the top of the list. I can't think of anybody else. Like I said, maybe somebody from the family, you know, like a Brett Brown, who's been out of coaching for a while. Will Hardy, who else is out there? Well, I would say Mike Brown, but he's now the Kings head coach, so he's out. But, you know, I think there's so much of that coaching tree that's out there that you can definitely come back and almost plug and play with his head coaching, you know, who could be the next head coach. You know, plug and play. Will Hardy, great. He's running it right now in Boston. Plug and play. He's familiar with these guys. Quinn Snyder, same thing. Plug and play. Ran the Spurs system in Utah for years. Plug him in. I think it'll work. So I'm leaning toward about 55% that it'll happen. But we're not done talking about your silver and black. When we get back, we're going to catch you up with some silver and black news that you may have missed since we last spoke with Rudy Campos. But before we do that, I want to talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar, they have a new flavor, caramel brownie. Who doesn't love chewy, chocolatey brownie? I think everybody does. It's awesome. It's good to eat. Well, how about a caramel brownie with caramel swirled on top? So good. And what if I told you you can have all that chewy, chocolatey goodness plus 17 grams of protein? Well, you're in luck. because caramel brownie bars are available at built.com right now. But you got to act fast because they are a fan favorite. Forget about dessert. These are better than dessert. The macros are unreal. 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar. It would replace a regular brownie with Built's caramel brownie bar in a heartbeat. At the best part, covered in 100% real chocolate, like for real. You're going to be thinking like you're eating a candy when really is a very nutritious protein bar for you. They didn't sacrifice taste for healthiness. You know, they balance it out perfectly, and you can have both. Built bars are made with collagen protein. That protein absorbs into your body more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. There's a million reasons why you should try Built bars right now. But for now, let's just say that caramel brownie will rock your world. That's not an understatement. With Built, tasty is the new healthy. Go to Built.com, get your box of caramel brownies right now. Built.com, promo code LOCK15. That'll get you 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. We're back and with Rudy Campos. He is with Sweep the League in just a few seconds. He's going to tell you why you should be tuning into his show right away. We're going to just catch up everybody on some news and notes that they may have missed. And let's dive into it. Well, this is a dubious honor. Rudy, I don't know if Spurs fans want to say yay about it, but the Warriors-Celtics Game 1 Finals was the lowest viewed since 2015. Who still holds the record as the least viewed Game 1 NBA Finals matchup? Spurs-Cavaliers 2007. So we're number one, Rudy.
We are number one, and we're probably going to stay number one, even though the entire city of San Antonio was the only people watching that NBA Finals game outside of Cleveland. We'll still be number one. We'll take the title. Man, any time you can be number one at something, you just take it and run with it.
We're number one, the least watched since Spurs faced the Cavs in 2007. So if you want to read more about that, see some of the numbers, go to Kins5.com right now and see how
that was boring.
But here's the thing, though. You had Tim Duncan, Manu, and Tony. They were still in their peakish. I think maybe coming down on the decline already. But you still had a young LeBron James, and even a young LeBron James was enough to bring in the viewers. And then you're looking at the Warriors Celtics. Okay, you know, you got Steph, you got Klay, you got the Splash Brothers, you got Tatum. And that still wasn't enough to bring in viewers. Why do you think viewership is down?
I'm going to tell you why my viewership is down, and I'm going to tell you what I see on social media. And it's so funny, man. It's so funny coming to me. NHL hockey playoff has been booming right now. We're talking massive, like, amounts of social media posts about NHL hockey. I've caught myself looking at, you know, playoff hockey. It's been more exciting. But I don't think the NBA is actually promoting the finals like they have in the past. I mean, it would seem like when you watch TV, you would see constant reminders, finals, you know, Curry, you know, yada, yada, yada. I don't see very much promotion at all. You click on ESPN.com or something and there's nothing. Like, it's like there's no promotion of the game itself. I don't know if people are just tuning it out. It's a great series. It's probably going to go 7 games. I mean, the playoffs this year for the NBA have been fantastic. I don't see why the numbers are down, but the only thing I can attribute to it is that not great marketing, and another sport has taken over this time frame, which is, like I said, weird, NHL hockey.
This has turned into Locked On Hockey right now. Thanks, Rudy.
Probably.
Appreciate that.
No problem. Yeah. No problem.
In other Spurs news, Derek White, former Spur guy, he revealed a very unique adjustment he had to make coming from the Spurs to Boston. I get your thoughts on this. He made it very clear. For the most part, it's been easy. You know, and he mentioned Ime and Will Hardy in the Spurs system. He goes, but there was one thing that he had to get used to, and that was fouling more. He admitted that Ime Udoka tells him, and the team as well, to go ahead and make fouls, you know, take risk. He goes, don't take dumb fouls, but if you foul because you're trying, you know, go for it. What do you think about that? You know, and by the way, Derek White did say, that in San Antonio, Popovich preaches, don't foul, don't send them to the free throw line. Which philosophy do you agree with? The Pop philosophy, don't foul, or the Ime make smart fouls, you know, on that court?
Man, back in my playing days, I was told to not make the dumb foul. So I kind of grew up in don't making dumb fouls. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with being aggressive. And I want to say I lean more toward, I'm a type of player when I've coached basketball as well, I lean more towards Ime Udoka. I mean, I understand you're going to get fouls. There's a reason why you get multiple fouls per game and you can, you know, grab 5 fouls in the high school level, 6 fouls in the NBA level. But if you're going to play aggressive ball, and that's what Boston's doing, their defense is top notch. I think one of the best in the league, if not the best in the league. So they're going to have to take chances. They're going to have to, you know, gamble on some plays. So I love Ime Udoka's coaching philosophy. Like, yes, you can take a foul here and there. You're going to get a foul trying to get a steal. Do it. I love that style of play because if you're trying to say, well, stop fouling, I get that. Free throws are free throws. Exactly. They're going to be free points basically majority of the time. You don't want to give away points like that. But at the same time, you've got to stop the team from scoring. So you've got to gamble. I'm 100% on Ime's boat with this one.
Yeah, yeah. I get Ime, you know, that the whole, you know, take a chance, take a gamble, a smart gamble, smart chance. Mm-hmm. And it's a different set of situations for him. You know, he has a team that's been there, done that already, far ahead of the curve than the Spurs are. Obviously, they're in the NBA Finals. Spurs are still learning. Spurs are still in that process of learning the game. Popovich said it over and over again, especially during those lean months of the early in last season, that they're learning. It's adjustment. They're learning how to play the game. So, yeah, he's going to want them to play smart. So I think it's just, again, different set of circumstances for both coaches. But it's interesting, you know, how, you know, you really hear coaches preach about, you know, maybe you're different, but most coaches will say, no, don't foul. What are you doing? You're fouling. But here's he may say, no, take the risk. Take the foul.
He understands you've got to have the ball in your hands to win the game. I mean, that's totally understandable.
Rudy, it's your time to shine. Tell us about Sweep the League. Why should everybody be tuning in?
Well, it's NBA draft time. We're doing a lot of NBA draft coverage of Sweep the League. We're going to do our player profiles here coming up. Three picks in the first round for the San Antonio Spurs. You can find our mock drafts that are going to be on Sweep the League as well. Not only that, man, we've been diving into some boxing, so we're providing a lot more local boxing interviews coming up with some local fighters. Great talent out there. We're just trying to get more exposure for them. So, I mean, whether you're a boxing casual fan or you're, you know, a boxing, you know, aficionado, take a look at us for some of this local boxing coverage we're providing.
Make sure to follow Rudy on Twitter at Sweep the League. Subscribe to Locked On Spurs wherever you get your favorite podcast, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes. The list goes on and on. And now on YouTube as well. And look, we always thank you for making Locked On Spurs your first listen each and every day. Now, make sure to go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA mock drafts, NBA draft itself, player rankings, and, of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Rudy, so the Locked On NBA teams, we did a mock draft. It hasn't been released yet. I think they're still finalizing the last few picks. But I traded the number 20 pick to move up.
Did you get DeAndre Ayton for it?
And no, I don't think Phoenix would have gone for that. But I don't think Spurs fans are gonna like who I traded for. I mean, well, trade up. Well, maybe I think most of them will be okay with it. But I can reveal this though. At number 9, in our mock draft, I selected Jalen Duren. Your thoughts?
If he falls to number 9, which personally I don't think he is, in a lot of the mock drafts I've done, I don't see it happening. But if he does fall, he should be the obvious choice. I mean, you're talking raw talent and a guy that can come in and make an immediate impact. But if he does fall to 9, I would cross my fingers that they would take Jalen Duren.
Yep. By the way, I did keep 25, and I was a little surprised at a particular name that was still on the board in our mock draft. So hopefully that will be released soon. I'm hoping it'll be. So I can get ready for the tomatoes thrown at me for the fifth for trading a certain player to move up. I don't know. It depends. I don't know. I'm like 50-50 with that. I think there'll be set of Spurs fans saying, like, you did what? And then I think the other set of fans will be like, oh, I get it. You know, I think they will. By the way, I had Locked On Knicks offer me number 11 pick. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted both 20 and 25 plus a young player. So I said, okay, well, here's 20, 25, and here's a young player. So I threw in Josh Richardson. And they balked at it. They said, no, we don't want that. You know, like, who else you got? So I go, okay, you just want a young player, because I guess Locked On Knicks, their mindset is like, the Knicks got to get it rebuilt and rebuild it again, you know, so we'll go young. So we'll go, here's Trey Jones. Here's 2025 and Trey Jones for number 11. And they said, no. They came back saying, we want 2025 and Devin Vassell for number 11. Would you have done that?
Ooh, no. Not for 20 and 25 and Devin Vassell for 11, no. There's no possible way I could have even made that type of deal. Now,
yeah.
Considering...
Yeah, I said no, yeah.
I mean, considering you could possibly get away with Devin and maybe 25 only, I would say okay. I would more consider that than I would, you know, anything else. But no, not for both picks and... for Devin Vassell, that's way too much.
Plus,
that's a lot.
Devin Vassell was a number 11 pick anyway. That's what it was. So switching out Devin for Devin, basically. So I'm like, yeah, it's all right. You know, pass.
I mean, if they give you RJ Barrett in return, then I mean, okay.
I should have done that. I should have said that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because you're
maybe I should have come back with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have said, give me 11 and RJ, and we're good. And maybe throw in
you would have given up Devin in that swap for number 11.
If you're giving up Devin 20 and 25 and they offer you, you know, Barrett and 11, I'm more content and I'm a little more at ease with that than I am just giving Devin Vassell for draft picks. I mean, that's basic. I mean, draft picks for one pick. That doesn't make any sense at all for me.
Well, if you're using the mock as any type of feeler, I think it was Locked On Magic, you know, reached out. They wanted Devin as well. They're willing to give their pick. Well, not the number one pick, but, you know, not picks. They wanted to just do a player swaps, you know, and who's this? Who do you want from our roster? Take them. You know, we just want Devin. I'm like, okay, I think Devin may be due for a breakout season next year. We'll see. Maybe that's another chat on Locked On Spurs. But Rudy, we want to thank you for hopping on Locked On Spurs. And as well as we want to thank you, Rudy, for inventing the internet. We appreciate that as well.
No problem, man. I'm glad that the internet's ruining a lot of people's lives.
So for Rudy Campos, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.